reading and pondering the Word of God gives us light. Light on things that we don't easily understand. Today's readings help us understand one of the most difficult of mysteries, that is suffering, trials. Whether it be physical suffering, pain, or rejection, like Jesus experiences in Nazareth, or sorrow, or failure, or any other burden that is a trial to us. What are we supposed to make of this? We have the tendency to think that it should just not happen. It shouldn't be like that. There should not be suffering. This is a very common attitude nowadays, and people take the experience of suffering, either their own personal suffering or looking at the just unbelievable suffering in the world, and they say, well, then there must not be a good God, because no one could tolerate having so much suffering. So people, in order to interpret suffering, will come up with a conclusion that is wrong, but it's at least understandable. Today's reading, though, from the letter to the Hebrews, describes or gives one way of understanding suffering, understanding trials, as the discipline that a father gives to his children. This is an extraordinary line. At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but for pain. Yet later, it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. It's a lens which makes it possible for us to see trials differently than we naturally see them. Because we all see trials as a cause for pain, not for joy. As a bad thing, not a good thing. But if we can translate that experience by identifying them as discipline from our Father, well, then we can say, well, maybe I just don't see the fruit yet, and that's why I think it's bad. But if I can trust that God is actually doing something good here, well, then I can accept this discipline. There's a lot to this. It's not easy to do because, as the letter says, it always seems like a bad thing, not a cause for joy. Who can rejoice when they suffer? Well, no one can unless they can somehow see beyond suffering or see a meaning that's deeper than the present experience of suffering. And that's what faith makes possible for us. The suffering that Jesus experiences in today's gospel is rejection by his own townspeople. He goes back to Nazareth, and the people there are impressed. In fact, they're astonished. They recognize that he has great wisdom. He has the power to do mighty deeds. He's certainly been, his reputation has gone ahead of him anyway. And they're quite impressed by him, except for the fact that they know him. They know that he's just a carpenter. They know his relatives. And so therefore, he can't be all that special. So Jesus is rejected. We're going to hear a prophecy of this rejection tomorrow when we celebrate the Feast of the Presentation. Remember Simeon's words, this child, this little 40-day-old child, is going to be the cause of the fall and the rise of many. He's going to be a sign that will be contradicted. What did that mean? He's just a baby. I mean, how can a baby cause a fall and rise? How can a baby be a sign of contradiction? Well, he's not that big a contradiction when he's 40 days old, but when he starts his public ministry and he starts proclaiming the gospel, speaking the truth, shining light on everybody, well, then not everyone wants light shining on them. In fact, we ourselves, we don't always like to see what the light of the gospel reveals. So this is what happens here. It's quite a thing to reflect on the reason or the reasons why the people of Nazareth reject Jesus. At least other people have, even though it's wrong to reject Jesus, but at least they have some reasonable basis for it. For example, yesterday we were reflecting on the, or 2 days ago, reflecting on that dramatic miracle in the Gerasene territory when the Jesus drove thousands of demons out of this man. And the people wanted Jesus to go away. Well, that was foolish of them. But at least you could understand why they might think that. First of all, Jesus is a Jew and they're not Jews. They don't want this guy coming in with his powers and his religion. Also, they lost 2,000 swine because of the man, because of Jesus, and they probably didn't like that idea. And they were just afraid. So we can understand, even though it's wrong, we can understand why they would reject Jesus. Or you think about the Pharisees. They think Jesus is breaking the law. So they're wrong, but they at least have a reason. Some of them think he's possessed. Bad reasoning, but at least it's a reason. But in the case of the people of Nazareth, they don't really have a reason. They don't really have a rationale for rejecting him other than he's a carpenter. It's just not a very good reason. It just doesn't make much sense. It's a raw prejudice against one of their own. It's like crab mentality. There's no good reason for it. Why can't a carpenter be used by God? Well, they don't have any way to defend it. It's perhaps the reason why Nazareth had that reputation, that nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Apparently, the people of Nazareth themselves think that. Nothing good can come from Nazareth. So, since you're from Nazareth, you can't be good. Well, this is not only for us to judge the people of Nazareth. This is for us to understand human nature, including our own. The light of the gospel exposes our stupidity, our irrationality, our raw prejudice, our resentments, our pride, our jealousy. And it has to be exposed. We don't like it, but that's the discipline of the Lord. It has to be exposed. This is an example of what the letter to the Hebrews says. At the time, we don't like it. It doesn't seem like a good thing for us to be accused of prejudice or accused of being irrational or accused of being jealous or self-centered. But it's an important step. Otherwise, we won't be disciplined and we won't gain the benefit of discipline. We'll be spoiled. And that's not good for us or for anybody. So we are allowing the Word of God to shine light, not simply on other people. It's always easy to judge others. We can judge the people of Nazareth. But we're also allowing this light, especially allowing this light to shine on us, so that we can be disciplined by our Father who wants what is good for us. It seems not a cause for joy but for pain, but later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. It's a very good thing to be trained. It's great to be trained by a Father who loves us. We always, when we talk about the image of God as Father, we think of the Father of the prodigal, we think of the Father being so merciful, compassionate, patient. Yes, but he also disciplines. He also trains us. And that's a good thing. It's a blessing. Without that training, we won't experience the blessings he has, and we won't be able to welcome the blessings he has for us. We studied them on Sunday, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Well, we're not naturally poor in spirit. We're not naturally meek. We're not naturally peacemakers. We have to be trained into it. We have to be disciplined so that we get the blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, once or as God trains us and we become humbler, we become more childlike, we become more poor in spirit, then we get the blessing and the kingdom of heaven is ours. So God has a great plan for us, and he has a way to bring that plan to fruition, to bring about what he has in mind. But we have to accept, welcome the discipline of the Lord, the training of our Father in heaven.